Today's edition of the Derek Hunter Podcast is brought to you by Life Change Tea.
Why go to getthetea.com? Because this important news could change your life. Socrates made a statement saying that all disease starts in the gut. Take care of your gut, and well, the rest speaks for itself. Life Change Tea is a wonderful way to aid in your digestion. Brew it, steep it, drink it, and feel it go to work. We at Life Change Tea have been around for years helping people just like you feel better. Lots of testimonials and lots of happy people. Log on to getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Getthetea.com.
All righty. Hello again, everyone, and welcome to it. It is the Derek Hunter Podcast for the 23rd of August, 2021. Monday, another week to us. That gets us actually closer to the holiday, though. Holiday weekend's, I think, like 2 weeks. 2 weeks away, something like that. Anyway, I am Derek Hunter. I am your host. Welcome to the program. And I appreciate you listening. I appreciate all the subscribers and the new subscribers to the Curse Program, the Week in F and Review at patreon.com/DerekHunterPodcast. And I appreciate you guys listening every day. And I appreciate you going to getthetea.com and gettingthetea.com and entering promo code Derek at checkout and check out all the great sales there. It is a hectic, hectic weekend. Lots of power outages here because there's just a lot of freaking storms coming through. So I knew it was coming. I knew it was happening. I recorded this show on Friday. I'll get into Joe Biden's stupid speech, even if I don't even know if I will, to be perfectly honest with you. The more important aspect of this Afghanistan mess is how the people around Joe are reacting, are trying to spin it. Joe, you expect to screw it up. The paid professionals whose job it is to protect that boob from himself, the sports bra around him, if you will, is what matters. Because if they can't do it, if they can't polish his turd, if they can't come up with some kind of plausible scenario, then good Lord. It tells you just how bad the situation is going. If they can't come up with a positive message in any way, shape, or form, it tells you how bad things are. On the show, we'll go tomorrow. We'll go through the Sunday shows and all of that, provided they haven't screwed things up. But I wanted to talk about the setup to this past weekend first. And so that's what we're going to do, as I have to record this anyway before then, because in case the whole internet goes out, or the power goes out, or whatever. So I appreciate you listening. Let's get on with the program. But we've got a lot to talk about. We've got, you know, the White House Communications Director. You almost feel bad for them, for these people working in the White House, until you realize that they're doing so voluntarily. And you realize that they are just bad people. I mean that in a good way. If you can take it in a good way, as nice a way as possible. But they're bad people. They're knowingly lying to it. It's not a matter of, well, we're fudging the numbers, you know, or it says that it's going to be deficit neutral, but really we're going to throw in another, you know, $10 billion on the national debt. But, you know, but if you look at it another way, we're not doing that. It's not that. This is a matter of life and death. That's different than fudging the numbers. That's different than trying to say, well, somebody said this, but they really meant this. They're lying about matters of life and death. And White House Communications Director Kate Bedingfield was the latest person thrown to the wolves today. They're throwing everybody out there except the president and the vice president. I suspect that those reports that the vice president is telling the Biden White House, you can go to hell. I'm not getting anywhere near I'll sit in the room while you do a speech. That's it. I'm not only going to not talk to the threat, I'm going to the other side of the planet. I want nothing to do with this. Even though, a month ago she was bragging, I was the last person in the room when the president made this decision to really screw up Afghanistan. And he took my advice. She was trying to take credit for it before anything happened. I'm like, yes, I was loving it. There's the feces and there's the fan and they were never going to meet. And I had everything to do with the setup and logistics of this room and the wall color. And then they met the chocolate went into the peanut butter, except not in a good way, and it's not chocolate, and it's not peanut butter. And everything got splattered, and Kamala Harris has headed for the hills. Now she's headed for Southeast Asia. So that leaves, you know, who can we get to go out there today? Whose credibility can we ruin today? And today it was White House Communications Director Kate Bedingfield. In this first cut here, she is talking about, well, they're basically promising not to leave. She's asked, because they've got this arbitrary deadline of August 31st. August 31st is a deadline that is meaningless in the grand scheme of things. Now, it was part of the deal with the Taliban that the administration cut and part of their original timeline when they moved the date from May 1st to September 11th. But part of the deal that President Trump cut with the Taliban was all of this part of us leaving was contingent upon the Taliban actually doing some things. The Taliban negotiating with the government, not invading and taking over, not bringing war. Those benchmarks that the Taliban were supposed to hold up on their end have not been met on their end. And yet the Biden administration is plugging through with our end of the deal. Not saying we shouldn't leave. I'm saying we should take our damn time now. And if you want to pick a fight with the U.S. military, that's fine. Go ahead. We're going to send in, I don't know, let's just make a number of 40,000 troops. And go ahead. Pick a fight with them. See how it works out. They won't do it. They'll want to do it. There might be small skirmishes because some of the Taliban are crazier than other Taliban. But instead, this administration is going, well, we pinky swore to these terrorists that we would be gone by August 31st, and we can't go back. Everybody knows that a pinky swear to a terrorist is legally binding, and we wouldn't want to go to court, and we wouldn't want to, you know, we wouldn't want to damage our image in the international community. It's laughable what these people are. Listen to Kate Bedingfield explicitly not promise to not leave anybody behind. It's amazing.
What you are not saying, though, I'm hearing in there that you are prepared to leave people behind.
We are doing everything we can to get as many people out who want to get out before the August 31st deadline.
We're doing everything we can to get people out who want to. Is there a big contingency of Americans or Afghanis who worked with the United States who are going, you know what? I think this whole Taliban saber rattling that's happening in and around Kabul and actually around the whole country where they're going around and rounding up people and killing them, chasing down their families. I think that's just for show. I think that's just an initial for show. And, you know, you got to give their dog their day. And when everything calms down, I think this is going to be paradise on earth. You think there's anybody out there like that? Of course there's not. Now, I want to play this next clip because this is Joe Biden. This is the alleged president of the United States sitting down with Snuffleupagus just a couple of days ago, pressed about this. Now, listen, George has to work over. George is on the team, man. George is on the team. He is a Democrat through and through, lifelong Democrat, only fell into doing quote-unquote journalism because, well, he wanted to cash in on the Clinton experience. And ABC News said, well, you're a Democrat. You could easily be our chief anchor. Let's go. Let's do this thing. So in his interview with Stephanopoulos, Joe refuses for a while to say, we are going to stay as long as it takes to get Americans and our allies out of Afghanistan. We're not going to leave. We can't do it in an ordered fashion because the Taliban came in and screwed up everything. They could have waited outside of Kabul. It wouldn't have been a problem. And things would have been certainly more ordered. They wouldn't have been whipping people with chains in the streets, for example, or preventing people from getting to the airport so they could be evacuated. Those sorts of things. Listen to how hard George Stephanopoulos has to work to get Joe Biden to commit to, if absolutely necessary, fine, we'll stay until we rescue everybody.
All troops are supposed to be out by August 31st. Even if Americans and our Afghan allies are still trying to get out, they're going to leave.
We're going to do everything in our power to get all Americans out and our allies out.
Does that mean troops will stay beyond August 31st if necessary?
It depends on where we are and whether we can get ramp these numbers up to 5,000 to 7,000 a day coming out. If that's the case, they'll all be out.
Because we've got like 10,000 to 15,000 Americans in the country right now, right? And are you committed to making sure that the troops stay until every American who wants to be out is out?
Yes.
How about our Afghan allies? We have about 80,000 people.
Well, that's not the
estimate. Is that too high?
That's too high.
How many?
Estimate we're giving is somewhere between 50,000 and 65,000 folks total, counting their families.
Does the commitment hold for them as well?
The commitment holds to get everyone out that, in fact, we can get out and everyone should come out. And that's the objective. That's what we're doing now. That's the path we're on. I think we'll get there.
So Americans should understand that troops might have to be there beyond August 31st.
No, Americans should understand that we're going to try to get it done before August 31st.
But if we don't, the troops will stay.
If we don't, we'll determine at the time who's left.
And
if there are American forces, if there's American citizens left, we're going to stay till we get them all out.
All right, fine, dude. We'll stay as long as we have. Just shut up, George. Leave me alone. Don't you realize that I'm supposed to be playing Mario Kart at Camp David right now? I don't want to be sitting across from you, you Greek dwarf. Shut up. Quit making me commit to things. I like to speak in vague terms because I don't really remember stuff. And then I don't have to commit myself to anything. You know, he doesn't like to commit himself to actions or commit himself to policies or commit himself to marriages. He doesn't like to commit himself to those things. So I'm trying to pin him down, George. Jeez. It's the president of the United States. His number one job is protecting Americans. And he goes, well, look, hey, man, look, if you're going to hide in your basement just because you're scared of being decapitated by Taliban trying to get to the airport, I can't help you, man. You got to live a little. You got to get out there. You got to make sacrifices. Like the people who went to Vietnam in my place for the five deferments I had. Those people made sacrifices. That's the kind of sacrifice, you know, a translator has to make in Afghanistan. That's the kind of sacrifice they have to be willing to make of their family for helping the United States of America. But don't worry, ladies and gentlemen, Joe Biden is going to restore our image in the world, right? That's what he told us he was going to do. Do you feel like our image is restored? I don't feel like our image is restored all that well. I could be wrong, but I'm not getting that new image smell. Again, I could be wrong. Mostly when Sir Joe's around, I just smell mothballs, oatmeal, and disappointment. That's just me. So while we're rolling through, we got quite a few clips of Kate Bedingfield trying to spin gold from, not from straw, but from feces, quite frankly. Because this is what she's dealing with. Now, what's funny is when the president's getting ready to give his big address, right? The president's going to give his big address, and she's in the morning before the president gives his big address. She's talking to Willie Geist over at MSNBC, part of the Morning Joe gang. And it's times like this that you sit there and you go, boy, imagine if we had an honest press. Because what did we get from the Washington Post? With Glenn Kessler, their fact checker over there. What did we get from him? We got nonstop every time Donald Trump said something that was less than 100% true or could be bastardized as 100% true. Like, literally, they say he lied 10,000 times. And you look at the list of lies, and some of the things you're like, all right, yeah, that's probably not accurate. But other things are like, he described that day as a nice day. It was not a nice day. It was rather humid. Really? They weren't checking him on that, obviously. But the tone of and the significance of some of the things they fact-checked him on were literally that petty. You're just like, really, dude? That's what you're going to fact check it on? And you sit there and you go, good for you for being owned by the world's richest man, that you have a job just being a jackass, you know, being a petty jackass your whole life. I mean, it probably pays well. I don't know how you sleep at night, but it probably pays well. But then when Joe Biden came in, the Washington Post fact checker and the team of fact checkers they had behind checking every single Donald Trump thing that could be spun into a lie said, you know, Joe Biden, he just doesn't lie. He's Pinocchio with like a very small nose, very small, and it doesn't go anywhere. It's just perfectly, it's just amazing. So we're going to disband our fact checking, our lie count. There's no point in counting the lie. How many people do you need to count to zero all the time, I ask you? So we're just going to disband that. And then you watch this guy lie constantly. Constantly. His staff lie constantly. The White House communications team, which was also part of the fact check, lie constantly. And that's what this is, because Kate Bedingfield, the White House communications director, said that Joe Biden never shies away from taking questions. Now, Al Jazeera this week made fun of Joe Biden. Al Jazeera said, oh, the president, the Taliban just took a whole bunch of questions. But the White House, unlike President Biden, who just closed his book and stammered off the stage. And you sit there and you go, well, how dare you attack this guy? Well, you know what? It's true. I can't really get upset for somebody reporting the truth. No matter how inconvenient I find the truth, it's still the truth. Listen, now what's funny is in this clip, Willie Geist, he doesn't audibly say anything, so you're not going to hear anything. But his, if you've ever watched a dog hear a new sound, you know, you hear a dog hear some high-pitched squeal or a phone rings with a ringtone that it's never heard before. There's just new sound to a dog. It's not like an overwhelming screeching sound that causes alarm. It's just maybe a phone ringing with a new ringtone in another room. In a purse buried under a pile of coats, and the dog's head kind of tilts like, what is that noise? I've never heard that noise before. That's how Willie Geist responds to when Kate Bedingfield it says that Joe Biden never shies away from taking questions, because they know he runs away from taking questions constantly. So just keep that in mind. Willie Geist's head kind of tilting like a German shepherd. Somebody in the distance is moving a chair along a floor that makes a high-pitched squeal or something. That's Willie Geist in this clip.
Kate, before we let you go, will President Biden, after his remarks today, take questions? He's given a couple of speeches. He did the interview with ABC News, but the White House press corps and the American people have a lot of direct questions for him. Will he take those today?
The president never shies away from taking questions. I'll let him make a decision if he's going to take questions this afternoon. But you saw he just did a full sit-down interview on this just yesterday. So he is always willing to take questions, and I'll let him decide if he's going to do that after his poll.
Yeah, no, he never shied away from taking questions. When he takes questions, he reaches into his pocket and pulls out the note card with the pre-approved reporters in order of which they are to be called on. And probably notes. We've already pre-screened the question. And here are your cheat sheets for doing that. Yeah, no. He never shies away from taking questions. Are you kidding me? How do you say that in good conscience? Well, you can't have a good conscience and work in this White House. You can't. Especially to be the communications director. You can't have a conscience at all. What's amazing to me is that Willie Geist didn't just start interrupting her and going, wait a second, this is not true. At all. He never shies away from it. He just sat down with George Stephanopoulos yesterday or 2 days ago or whatever. No, he didn't. She's talking on Friday. He sat down with Snuffleupagus on Tuesday, I believe it was, for an interview that aired on Wednesday. But again, this is the same president of the White House where Joe Biden said, oh, those people falling off the plane, that was like 4 or 5 days ago. And I was like, no, it was 2 days ago. And even still, even if it were 4 or 5 days ago when he was indignant about that, what are you asking me about that for? That was 4 or 5 days ago. Yeah, okay. Even if it were, which it wasn't, but if it were, it was only 4 or 5 days ago. And nobody's had a chance to ask you squat about it because you've been hiding, Joe. So how about you answer the question rather than get indignant that it was asked? What a novel idea. It's just amazing. It's just amazing. And you've got the White House communications team scrambling around. You've got the Defense Department scrambling around. What's shocking is they have no idea, zero, how many Americans there are in Afghanistan. No clue whatsoever. None. You asked Kirby, Admiral Kirby over at the Department of Defense. And what did he say yesterday? He said, well, that's more of a question you should ask the State Department over there. Oh, I gotta run and ask the State Department a basic question? Well, you're kind of the department that's charged with rescuing them, physically rescuing them. One would hope you're keeping a count so you know that you're done, right? If the number is 10,000 even and you're at 1,000 Americans out, you know you got a ways to go. Whereas if the number is 10,000 and you're at 9,500, you go, well, we're almost there. This is great. One would hope you'd have a count. They don't have a count. And apparently they're not even talking. The Department of Defense couldn't be bothered to call the State Department so they know when they're done rescuing Americans. They just go, hey, you should probably go ask them. What? I'm not the one charged with rescuing Americans. You can't do this? Since they don't know, and since nobody knows how many Americans they are, which is a massive failure on behalf of the Biden administration, this morning, Kate Bedingfield tried to spin that as, hey, man, it's no big deal that we don't know. There's lots of reasons why we don't know how many Americans there are, and it's not a big deal either way. It's nuts. Listen to her try to spin that.
How many Americans still in Afghanistan? Do you guys have a number?
We don't have a precise number, and there's a reason for that. It's because the number of people, of Americans in Afghanistan, includes people who may have left the country, who may have left over the course of the last 6 months. So what we're doing is working to identify how many Americans are there. As of a few weeks ago, we had begun reaching out to all American citizens who are in Afghanistan via email, via text, via messaging app,
okay,
to hear from them and to understand their plans and work with them to get them out if they want to get out.
Yeah, if they want to get, look, we don't know. But we've been reaching out. Well, how many people have you been reaching out to? And have you been hearing back from all of them? Because you're dealing with a third world country where broadband isn't readily available, where I would say that the cell service would be spotty at best, I would suspect. And that third world country, not really, a hub of massive technological advances. But shouldn't you know at this point how many there are? And I'll tell you why it matters that they don't know and don't care how many Americans there are in Afghanistan. You know why? Because then that gives them the ability to declare it done at any time. Right? The rescue mission is done. We have gotten all the Americans. We've got them all. How do you know? Well, because we do. We're not seeing anybody else coming in. We're not hearing from anybody else. Really? In a nation where the Taliban now controls communication, you're comfortable with your belief that now everything is cool and you can just bail out. That's an interesting take there. Now, I think that the media is eager for that to be the case. And so they will do everything they can to spin that as best they can. But most people will sit there and go, well, how do you figure that? How many did you get out? And without giving an accurate count ahead of time, you can count on them not giving an accurate count after the fact either. Whatever number they decide was the number beforehand, they can say that's how many we got afterwards, except for a few nut jobs who apparently will want to stay there. I don't know what kind of American goes, you know what, I really think the Taliban's going to get their act together. I think they're going to be able to fix the potholes in the road. So I'm going to stick around here because I think real estate in Kabul is just ready for a meteoric rise. I mean, you got a worldwide pandemic. You've got international terrorists being welcomed back into the country. Radical Islam oppressing women. There has never been a more reliable bouillabaisse of real estate boom right there. Just give me a break. These people won't tell you how many Americans are in the country because then they'll be responsible for rescuing that number of Americans. And more importantly than anything else, as you heard in the other clips, and even from the President of the United States, that August 31st deadline is their deadline. And they're not going to let a little thing like they might be leaving some Americans behind, scared, hiding in their basement because the Taliban is going door to door trying to find them. They're not going to let a little thing like that stand in the way of them declaring mission accomplished so they can get this behind them and get on to spending $3.5 trillion on human infrastructure garbage. That's your government at work, ladies and gentlemen. I want to tell you about this story, and in the context, there's sensitive language that I'm not going to use, obviously, but sensitive language that will be implied in all of this. Just to juxtapose how things change dependent upon which party a person is in. Rashida Tlaib came to Washington, D.C., famous for what? She was, we're going to Washington, D.C., and we're going to impeach the MF-er about Donald Trump. That was it. She wasn't even sworn in yet, but that's what she was going to do. That's what she's doing. There it is. We're going to impeach the MF-er. And what happened? Why, the liberal media said, well, there's nothing wrong with that. Free speech. She's a strong-willed woman. Why are you such a misogynist having a problem with a strong-willed woman saying something that is universally true or whatever, whatever it is? It was no big deal. And Rashida Tlaib went on to become a liberal darling. Marjorie Taylor Greene has a different letter after her name, a different party affiliation. Therefore, she's a monster. So Vice News has a story. Marjorie Taylor Greene called Joe Biden, quote, a piece of excrement, end quote, over Afghanistan. Now, she didn't use the word excrement. Now, how is that news considering what? Even if Rashida Tlaib didn't say, we're going to go and impeach the MF-er, even if she didn't say that and she wasn't then celebrated as a liberal darling, think about what everybody on the left spent 4 years calling Donald Trump and Republicans, and still calls Donald Trump and Republicans conservatives. Nazis, Hitler, these are monsters. They're worse than the Taliban. Yeah, they're worse than the Taliban. Well, then maybe we shouldn't be. Maybe Joe Biden should come out. If Republicans, if conservatives are worse than the Taliban, maybe Joe Biden should come out and give a speech to the nation. Look, I've decided to call off the rescue mission in Kabul. We're now pulling all of our troops out there. We're actually going to return the people that we evacuated already, because I don't want to bring them to the United States of America. Yes, they're fleeing the Taliban, but if we brought them to the U.S., they would be in. We would inflict upon them a fate worse than the Taliban. So we're going to send them back home. Really? That's what they've told us for what? For how long? Forever. I mean, it was, Marcos Melitzis, the guy who founded the Daily Kos and founded Vox News. He's a very big communist who's made a lot of money through the capitalist system. It's weird how that works out, isn't it? They express all these virtues, but they don't share their money. Not at all. He wrote a book, he wrote a couple of books, and they all flopped, by the way. I'm not sure where they think this audience is for this left-wing crap, but they keep shoveling money his way because liberals invest for the cause, not for the return. Well, the people running the companies get the return, but not the investors. They don't seem to care. He wrote a book called The American Taliban. It was all about how the conservatives, the Republican Party, they're actually worse than the Taliban. They're way worse than the Taliban. So why are you interested in trying to save people from the Taliban by bringing them to the United States of America? Don't do that. You'd be just inflicting worse than the Taliban on them. My God. Marjorie Taylor Greene said something mean. I mean, she called the President of the United States, what did she call him, a Nazi? She call him Hitler. She call him Pol Pot. She call him Mao. She call him Stalin. I mean, half of those they'd take as a compliment. Oh, really? You think I've got Mao-like qualities? That's one of the nicest things anybody's ever said to me. That's great. But the fact that they're sitting there reporting this breathlessly and calling for more sanctions against Marjorie Taylor Greene. They've already stripped her of all committee assignments. They've already stripped her of basically everything that they can strip her of, except for expelling her. Democrats seem to what do they think is going to happen if Republicans take the House next year? What do they think is going to happen? How many of the awful things that these little proto-Nazis that they elect out there are being cataloged going, all right, well, you said this, you said that, you said the other thing. For God's sakes, you don't even have to go what they said about Americans. You could just go, hey, squad, pretty much every member, you really seem to hate Jews. We can't have you on these committees, particularly foreign relations committee. You can't have that. So you're gone. You're stripped of all your committee assignments. That Democrats did this. They're the ones who breached the dam. They will not have a leg to stand on when they start inevitably complaining. Sadly, though, I don't think that Republicans will have the lower intestinal fortitude to actually do anything about it. Oh, they might do one. They might do one. Ilhan Omar is just so egregiously bad. I'd also like to see them, you know, investigate whether or not she married her brother. Do a serious investigation with subpoena power and call people up there to testify to see if she actually married her brother for an immigration scam. I'd also like to see how it was that the House Ethics Committee just recently approved her for a $100,000 book deal. Like, how is that? How is that? You just look at that on its face and you go, no, there's no way she's going to sell that many books. It's just grift. It's just scam. But that's how it works. That's how it works. So be ready. There's going to be a lot more pearl clutching over the next year and a half. And if Republicans... I'll tell you, the scariest thing about Republicans taking charge is not that Republicans will, you know, become cowards and put their tails between their legs and not govern like the conservatives that they claim to be. That's always a concern. But it is that they will come in and say, well, we're going to start anew. We're going to start anew. That they won't hold the left to their standards. And worst of all, that the left will, you know, you got the election in November. You can do a lot of damage between November and Inauguration Day. Now, Inauguration Day in Congress is usually January 3rd, so it's less damage than a president, but they could ram through a lot of things, especially if they're losing the House and the Senate, and they recognize that, hey, let's just do this thing. Let's use reconciliation and fundamentally transform the country. And keep in mind, these would be the very same people who tell you this is what democracy looks like, would be going against the expressed wishes of the American people, because that's really how they roll, to be perfectly honest with you. Cancel culture, ladies and gentlemen, has another victim. It's a guy named Mike Richards, not Michael Richards. I saw this morning and I thought at first, Michael Richards was up for this job? Michael Richards, of course, hasn't been heard or seen from. I guess he did a couple episodes of Curb Your Enthusiasm when they did the pseudo fake Seinfeld reunion, but Michael Richards was not. Michael Richards played Kramer. Mike Richards is apparently executive producer of Jeopardy. And he was miraculously, in a very Dick Cheneyan way, the guy who was in charge, or one of the guys in charge, of finding the replacement for the late, great Alex Trebek. And what happened was he found himself and Mayim Bialik. Mayim Bialik's going to do some kind of, they're like special shows. She's not actually going to be doing the shows. Well, now that Mike Richards has been chosen to be the new Jeopardy host, people started digging through his past. I'm sure that Mike Richards is as liberal as the day is long, but just because they want to cancel people, the mob needs destruction. He's already stepping down because of things he'd said about women, apparently, a while back on a podcast. How the hell did they not know this, and what does it matter? Newsweek has the story. Mike Richards has stepped down as the new host of Jeopardy a little more than a week after it was announced he would fill the role. Richards felt his appointment had become, quote, too much of a distraction for our fans and not the right move for the show. Now, he's not quitting as producer because, you know, that mailbox money you like to have rolling in. On August 11th, the popular host announced, blah, 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 Mayim Bialik. Backlash over Richards' hiring came swiftly from fans who accused Richards, who also serves as the show's executive producer, of essentially picking himself for the position. Yeah. Richards' past was also scrutinized, beginning with reports that he was accused by multiple models of discriminating against them when he was producer of The Price is Right. Well, I don't know. I don't care. But honestly, this is the world that we're living in. On Wednesday, The Ringer published a story that contained comments Richards made on a podcast he hosted in 2013 and 2014 called The Randum Show. R-A-N-D-U-M-B. He was quoted as making disparaging remarks about women, Jews, and other groups, which led the Anti-Defamation League to call for an investigation. Sony Pictures released the following statement. It pains me that these past incidences and comments have cast such a shadow on Jeopardy as we look to start a new chapter. As he blah, 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 he goes on to say there. And of course, Sony says, we support Mike's decision to step down as host. Really? Nobody has any, like, it was a joke, right? Everybody jokes about everything, or everybody used to joke about everything, and now everything is retroactively canceled. I don't know this guy. I don't know who this person is. I haven't really watched Jeopardy since. I've seen a couple of bits, but since Alex Trebek died, I just don't. I'm not that interested in who comes next. If they're any good, they're any good. It's not like my vote matters. But the fact that this guy is now being canceled because of jokes he told, 8 years ago, is so damn stupid and yet so fitting. There could be nothing that is more 2021. I thought 2020 sucked. 2021 is shaping up to be worse. And it's just going to continue to get worse until somebody, and apparently it's not going to be Sony, has the underpant content to stand up to these idiots and go, you know what? I don't care. I don't care. If you don't like it, don't watch. If you're so offended by something that happened 10 years ago, don't watch. We don't need you. And by the way, if you're offended by things that somebody said 10 years ago to the point that you aren't going to watch a TV show, you weren't watching that TV show to begin with. If you're so upset over that, you weren't watching Jeopardy. I can't imagine too many people are that, you know, sensitive and ready to cry and whine and piss and moan about all these horrible things and be part of cancel culture. I don't think you're the Jeopardy audience. I honestly don't think you're the Jeopardy audience. I hope you're not the Jeopardy audience. I don't think you're smart enough for Jeopardy. I think you're more of a $100,000 pyramid crowd, or maybe even, you know, I love The Price is Right. You're more of a let's make a deal people. All right, that's enough for today. The skies are darkening yet again. I appreciate you listening. Back to normal programming. Mondays are always kind of a screwed up day, but back to normal programming on Tuesday. I hope you had a great weekend. The Curse Show is always there 24/7 if you want to hear it. If you really need my take on Joe Biden, because I did do that one after his stupid speech. Lots of swearing. There's more anger than funny this week because this week has been so stupid. But now it's a new week. Last week was so stupid. Anyway, have a great one. We'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for listening.